be fair to Trump, and on Late Night Live, we wish at all times to be scrupulously fair, particularly to presidents of the United States. He has been able to ink one deal since he came to power, and that is a deal signed late last month that will give America a stake in Ukraine's critical minerals deposits and new mineral, oil and gas projects in that war-torn country. Where that deal leaves Ukraine, Russia and America is far from clear, hence the work of investigative journalist Antonio Juhas, who has recently written about the negotiations for Rolling Stone. Antonio, welcome to Late Night Live.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be on with you, David.
Antonio, I was so surprised to learn from your work that this deal was originally Zelensky's idea.
Yeah, Zelensky had come up with this idea during the Biden administration to sign an agreement that would give the United States an incentive to invest in, at that point, a focus that was primarily looking at rare earth minerals, and to entice the Republican Congress to maintain its military support for Ukraine through an agreement that would give the U.S. some advantage in coming into the country to do investments. That agreement, known as the Minerals Agreement, morphed significantly when and it wasn't signed under Biden, just to emphasize that. The negotiations morphed dramatically when the administration changed from Biden to Trump, and this agreement became much more of a tool by the Trump administration to negotiate really a natural resource grab over Ukraine as a condition for the U.S. continued process, any sort of military support, and to continue involvement in what's being termed, and I would put into quotation marks, a peace negotiation process, close quotation marks, that Trump is involved in. And this agreement was then signed in April.
What we would call a stake. So the United States has offered a stake in Ukraine. By the time Zelensky got to the Oval Office for that extraordinary pantomime, well, it's not pantomime, it was real, wasn't it? That extraordinary confrontation. Where was the deal at? Because I understand from you that the deal eventually signed is not the deal that they were apparently about to sign that day.
Yeah, so to back up, you know, this negotiation over this deal is still underway, and it's a part of a process that has been dramatic since Trump took office, which was a very abrupt shift of the U.S. government from being clearly aligned with Ukraine to a U.S. government under Trump clearly aligned with Vladimir Putin. And Trump has been having phone calls. He had his fourth phone call with Putin yesterday, but that's his fourth just in the last year. U.S. negotiators have been moving back and forth, having negotiations in Russia with the Russians, bringing Russians to the United States to have negotiations. And in February, Vladimir Zelensky was brought to the United States ostensibly to sign this minerals agreement as a show of a quote-unquote peace process. And Zelensky came to the Oval Office in February. He met with Trump and J.D. Vance, and it was a made-for-TV moment for Trump and Vice President Vance to undermine, degrade, belittle, take Zelensky down as a clear demonstration. And Trump even said it in the meeting. He said to Zelensky, "You don't have the cards. You have to sign a deal." For Trump to demonstrate to Putin that the U.S. is aligned with Putin, to demonstrate to Ukraine that the U.S. is no longer aligned with Ukraine, and to force the signing of this agreement. That agreement did not get signed after that meeting. There was more negotiations, but to be clear what this agreement is, it is not about rare earth minerals. It is an agreement for all of Ukraine's natural resources, oil, gas, coal, minerals, and then also within that, a category of about 12 minerals that are known as rare earth minerals, which is getting all of the attention. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that Ukraine had originally been interested in having help develop this sector, which is rare earth minerals are minerals that are used in renewable energy and in the transition from fossil fuels to renewables. They're in solar panels and batteries. And Ukraine had been in a process of wanting to transition off of fossil fuels, as had much of the world, for lots of reasons, including climate and human rights and the human health harms of fossil fuels, but also
cost, and also
as a means of disempowering Russia. So Russia is deeply dependent on its income from fossil fuels. After Russia invaded Ukraine, Ukrainians led a demand that the world also picked up on, which was to defeat Russia. We need to end our dependence on fossil fuels and drain Russia's war machine. So Ukraine was interested in developing the potential of these rare earth minerals to help its own transition away from fossil fuels. Instead, this agreement encapsulates all of Ukraine's natural resources, oil, gas, coal, and minerals, and it gives the United States a 50-50 oversight over all future earnings in any of Ukraine's natural resources, natural resource infrastructure, and decision. So both potential, you know, investment opportunities, but also decision making. So 50% decision making over how those funds are invested, and eyes on any contract negotiation, any lease, any permit for any future Ukrainian fossil fuel or other natural resource operations. That's really important to Ukraine. I mean, that's a losing point for Ukraine, because one of its long-running disputes with Russia is Ukraine's attempt to benefit from the flow of Russian gas through Ukraine, which had been the primary path that gas flowed from Russia to Europe. And if through this agreement, the U.S. gets eyes on any future contract, that could include those flows of Russian gas. And that could also, because of Trump's close alliance with Putin, mean that the U.S. is essentially an arbiter on behalf of Russia in all future Ukrainian natural resource negotiations.
I'm talking to investigative journalist Antonio Juhas about the Ukrainian minerals deal. Antonio, what is in this for Ukraine? Is there anything in it other than the fact that it will give the United States a stake in defending the Ukraine? But that doesn't seem to be in any way explicit in the deal.
I think that that's, you know, been one of the selling points. I don't think that's actually likely to happen. I think this was just something that Trump wanted. It became something that Trump wanted that became a condition for Ukraine. And Ukraine is in a very weak position vis-a-vis the United States at this point. Zelensky had to sign it. He was able to negotiate some things that were better than past versions. Past versions gave the U.S. majority control over this fund, and it creates a reconstruction fund is the idea. So it what those future earnings go into is a fund that would be directed towards Ukraine future reconstruction. And just to explain, this isn't how this is usually done. So the U.S. will generally give reconstruction funds after a war or in areas that it wants to develop via grants. And those grants go towards reconstruction. Now, the U.S. might certainly find a way to benefit its own companies in that process, but it gives a grant or gives a loan, and that's used towards reconstruction. You don't set up a fund, or we haven't previously, where 50% of earnings from natural resources go into a split fund that the U.S. oversees with that country to direct the way those resources would be invested. Ukraine has nationalized a nationalized system for its natural resources. So that's saying money that would have gone to the Ukrainian government to then spend on reconstruction as it would like to, instead goes into a fund that the U.S. co-oversees on how to direct those funds yes. towards reconstruction.
That's a deal. That's quite a deal. Juliet, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Antonia. That's
Antonia. I was talking to Juliet a moment ago. Antonia, where are the minerals that are most valuable to the United States? I have seen reports that what the United States would most like to get access to is in the territory that has been occupied by Russian forces.
So I don't think at the end of the day that this is an agreement that is ultimately about U.S. companies flooding into Ukraine, because they would have done that already if that's something they wanted to do. I actually think this agreement has more to do with this relationship between Trump and Putin. So right now, the way the agreement would work in these ongoing quote-unquote peace negotiations is that Trump has made clear that what Ukraine gets is that Russia doesn't take all of its country. That's what Ukraine will get. And that Ukraine needs to be willing to give up those parts of Ukraine that Russia already controls to Russia. So this would mean that Russia would continue to occupy the areas that it's gained since 2014 and 2022, which also happen to overlap with those key areas of Ukraine's fossil fuels. It's oil, it's gas, it's coal. And the industrial region of the Donbas, which is also where industrial infrastructure exists. So Ukraine would still have those areas that have some minerals like titanium and graphite, and the potential of these rare earth minerals, and that could potentially be developed by U.S. companies. But I really think this is a deal about Russia getting to continue to control Ukraine's primary areas of fossil fuels, which are much more important to Russia, and deny that income to Ukraine. And then even more importantly, if Trump can help to continue a process that makes it look like he's negotiating a peace process with Ukraine.
That will look great for him. It'll be great for him. Antonia, we must leave it there. I'm so sorry. Thank you for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been talking to Antonia Juhas, independent journalist, investigative journalist, about the minerals deal between America and Ukraine.